Good morning. So we're going to look today in terms of Hanukkah at the story of Yehudas. Yehudas is the heroine of Hanukkah, closely associated with Hanukkah. And yet the story of Yehudas is very fuzzy and unclear. I don't think we really know much of what happens. We often know that something about cheese is associated, eating cheese on Hanukkah, which is brought down the halacha. The Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch and Tafresh Ayin that Yeshomrim sheyesh la'achol gevina b'chanukah. There are those that say that you should have cheese on Hanukkah. Lofi shehanes na'aseh b'chalav she'achila Yehudis es ha'oyev. That the nes occurred through milk, through cheese on Hanukkah, that Yehudis fed to the enemy. Okay. We really don't know who she was, what exactly happened, what was the enemy, what was the enemy doing, who was this enemy, and the whole story really just is very unclear. And part of the reason for that is because the Gemara has no mention whatsoever of any person named Yehudas or any story associated with her. So where exactly does the whole story begin from? The first time that we find it in Halacha is already in the Rishonim, and we'll go through some of them shortly. I need to figure out, where did the Rishonim get it from? If it doesn't appear in Chazal, it doesn't appear in Tanakh. We don't have any Megillah that we read on Hanukkah. Hanukkah is different than the other Yom Tovim, even than Purim, where we have a Megillah. We don't have a story that we read. So where exactly would they get it from? So those are some of the questions that we have to try and figure out, and try and understand what this story is about, and who this person was. And again, the reason that it's important, besides just historically figuring out who she was, is because it affects the halacha. The Gemara says that women are obligated in Neros Hanukkah because afhein hayu ba'osa hanes, that women were also included in the nes of Hanukkah. And therefore, even though normally women are not obligated in mitzvot haseish as man grama, time-bound positive commandments, and Hanukkah seems to be just that. You have to light it at night. It has a specific time. It's a positive commandment. It's mitzvah banan. So women should not be obligated. And yet, the Gemara says, since atein hayu ba'osanis, they were also included in the miracle, they are obligated. Similarly, there is a minhag that is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. That the women have a minhag not to do any work while the candles are burning. Why should that be? Choose the Mishavura quotes, Tavka Noshim Lefisha Nasa Nesayadeyim, that since they were the ones who did the miracle, therefore they have this custom not to do any work during that time. So again, if it's going to have implications in terms of halacha, we need to understand what exactly this story is about. Again, the most famous example is the cheese, which the Rama quotes the Iran that I mentioned at the beginning. So what exactly is this, what's the story, where does it all come from, and what happened? So the earliest mention that we have in terms of the Rishonim is in Rashi. The Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Chof Gimel there says that women are obligated in Neros Chanukah because Afin Hayy Ba'osanis, they're also included in the miracle. But the Gemara doesn't tell us what miracle, what exactly happened. So Rashi fills in the blanks. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, Hayu Ba'osu Hanes, they were included in the miracle. Shegazu Yevanim, that the Greeks made a decree, Akol Basulos Hanisos, Lehibal Letafsar Tchila. That one of the Greek decrees was that any besula, any woman who is getting married, she has to spend the evening with the local general prior to going to marry her husband. And then Rashi concludes, Va'al yad isha na'ase hanis. And through a woman, the miracle occurred. What exactly does that mean? Rashi is very very cryptic. Is he saying two different things? First of all, he has no mention of anybody named Yehudis and no mention of anything about cheese. Just, again, no, it sounds funny, but again, since that's going to be the minhag, it has, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, it has to be that there's some sort of something that has to do with cheese. Not that the cheese in a vacuum is important, but if we're trying to uncover what the story is, if it has no mention of the ingredients that find their way into the halakha, then we're missing something. So again, first of all, Rashi tells us about a decree that we didn't necessarily know about before, and the most famous decrees that we know about are that the Yevanim said you can't do Shabbos, you can't learn Torah, and Rosh Chodesh, and Bris Milah. And we don't usually hear about that any woman who's getting married has to spend the night with the general first. And then he says, Va'al yad isha nasa hanes, that through a woman the nes occurred. So what nes is that? Is that a nes that relates to the first half of the Rashi? It relates specifically to this gzeira? Is it a different nes in general? Rashi, again, is very, very cryptic. We'll have to try and figure it out. What's also interesting about this, which we'll talk about a little bit later, hopefully, is that this decree of the Greeks seems to be very different than the other decrees of the Greeks. Because in general, the other decrees were really focused on Bnei Yisrael as a religion, wanted to take away the religious life of Bnei Yisrael, and weren't necessarily to bring any pleasure to the Yevanim. They didn't have any gain by the Bnei Yisrael not doing Rosh Chodesh or Milo or the like. They were trying to attack the spiritual nature. And this one, it wasn't that they stopped allowing the marriages to take place. It was just a matter of, it seemed like a free night for the general to enjoy himself. It just, again, it's certainly possible not to make the Greeks into such a great people. It is possible that Xero is different, but it seems to fly in the face of the other Xeros, and why should that be? Now, the Ran on the riff in the back of the Gemaras, he seems to say something similar to Rashi, but he adds on a little bit more, and which makes what he says very important. The Ran says that Al-Yidei Isha Nasa Hanes. The Ran explains that. Says Va'idei Yisha Nasa Neis Daminan B'Medrash. The Medrash tells us, so at least he's beginning to quote a source for us. Rashi didn't tell us where he's getting it from. The Bito Shel Yochanan, the daughter of Yochanan, Ha'achilo L'Rosh Oivim Gevina L'Shechuso. That the daughter of Yochanan fed cheese to the head of the enemy in order to intoxicate him, in order to knock him out a little bit. The Chotcha Esrosho, and she chopped off his head.
Is that the story of Yael?
It is similar in a certain sense to the story of Yael. There are those that say
that tactic works, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's part of it. Yeah, there are those that say whatever exactly it means that Yehudis was a Gilgal of Yael. Okay. Whatever, for those who understand what that means, certainly connect the stories at least.
Yeah. Okay.
But again, it is important to note he doesn't mention anything about anybody named Yehudis. The Ran, he didn't say that. He said a daughter of Yochanan, let's figure out who Yochanan is, gave to the Rosh of the Oivim Givina Lashech Russo. The Chatzas Rosh chopped up his head, Baruch Hakum, they all ran away, the enemy ran away. Valzeh Nagu Lechol Givina B'Chanukah. And therefore, as a remembrance of this, we have this custom to eat cheese on Chanukah. Now, what's not clear from the... So there are some things that are clearer from the Ran and certain things that are less clear from the Ran. What's clearer from the Ran is who we're talking about. We're talking about, we don't have a name, but we're talking about the daughter of Yochanan. Who is Yochanan? So we know of two Yochanans in the story of Chanukah. We have Bimei Matisyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. So Matisyo's father was named Yochanan. And we also have a son of Matisyo, I guess named after his father, also named Yochanan. So, if assuming that it was one of these two Yochanans and not just a Yochanan that we don't know about, so this woman is either, again, is a daughter of Yochanan, so it's either Matisyahu's sister, the same way he's the son of Yochanan, she's the daughter of Yochanan, or it's Matisyahu's granddaughter, right? Because he has a son named Yochanan, and it's the daughter of Yochanan. So if it's one of the Yochanans that we know, it's definitely not Matisyahu's daughter, It's either Matisyahu's granddaughter or Matisyahu's sister. One or the other. Now, what did she do? She fed cheese to the general and then chopped up his head. So, does that have anything to do with the specific gezeira, the specific decree that was against the women? Or this just happened in general? They were stuck, they were having this battle against the Greeks, and she found a way to infiltrate into the camp of the Greeks and was able to tire him out with this cheese and made him a little bit tired. He fell asleep, she chopped up his head, and then everything is good, and therefore we have cheese on Hanukkah, which is possible. Is that at all connected to the story that Rashi was telling us about the gzeira? So that we don't know. That isn't 100% clear. Again, he doesn't explicitly mention this gzeira against the marrying without having gone to the general first. So again, the important...
Was the general the one whom she killed? She killed?
It says Rosh Oivim, the head of the enemy. We don't know if it was that general. Yeah, right. It doesn't sound like it was Antiochus. Right. I don't think that, but it could be I don't think it would be far-fetched to say that it was whichever general was the one who was going to be getting the woman before they get married. But it's not 100% clear. Again, the important point that he does mention is A, that he found this in a Medrash, which at least gives us a source. We have to try to find that source. But at least he's coming from a source. We know that it's the daughter of Yochanan, and there was cheese involved, so that we have our cheese minhag. What we don't know, which is important, is we don't know anything about any woman named Yehudis. It could be that was her name, but he didn't tell us that. And we don't specifically know what it was a response to, whether it was a response to that gzeira or not. We can speculate and say that it's not so far-fetched, not such a stretch from Rashi, but it's not 100% clear. There are many other Rishonim that mention some parts of the story in different ways. There's a Tosfos, the Rashbam, the Meir, the Smag, the Ritzva. So again, it's very strong in terms of Rishonim that the story exists in various forms. But again, we still don't know exactly where the Rishonim are getting from because we don't have a source in Chazal, we don't have a Gemara. And again, other than the Ran telling us that he got it from a Medrash, we don't have that Medrash. So since there's no mention in Chazal, there were those that understood that there was another source where Chazal could have got it from, which is the Book of Judith. The Book of Judith is one of the, what we call the Sfarim HaChitzonim, the outside books, the better known as the Apocrypha, which were works that there were those who sort of tried, the works that didn't quite make it into Tanakh, and that they didn't make it into the canon of the 24 books. And generally, there were good reasons for it, and therefore, we don't usually look to them as authoritative sources. The books such as Ben Sira and other ones. So again, there are those that say that we have a story of Judith. We don't seem to have any mention in Chazal, so where did the Rishonim get it from? It must be that the Rishonim got it from this book of Judith. Now normally, again, it's not a source that we would go to which would have a lot of clout l'halacha. It's a little strange that the Rishonim would be going to it. I wouldn't say it's necessarily impossible, but it is a little bit strange that it would influence halacha. Again, so that's the assumption that some have tried to. So the speculation that some have made. Now the problems with this again is that first of all, it's hard to imagine that the Ran would refer to it as a medrash. Meaning on par with all the other Medrash Rabbah and all the other types of Medrash that we have, given that it's one of these books that didn't even make it into Tanakh, it's something which stays on the outside. But more fundamentally is that there are vital details to the story that are different in the book of Judith than are the way we have the story in terms of the way it comes out in terms of the halacha. So I'll share with you a summary of the book of Judith, and then we'll try to highlight some of the important inconsistencies.
What's it called in Hebrew?
Sefer Yehudis. There's a big tumult amongst the scholars whether it was originally written in Greek and translated into Hebrew, or if it was originally written in Hebrew. So the Sefer Yehudis, in terms of the book of Judith, begins. Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Ashur, HaMoshe ben Nineveh. We have a story about Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Ashur, who lived in Nineveh, who had a battle with Arpachshad, the king of Madai. So already we're in a little bit of a different time than the Greeks. We're dealing with Nebuchadnezzar. And he sent his general Holofernes. He was to conquer all the lands around Eretz Yisrael. And along the way, the Jews became very nervous that he was coming, and they were afraid that he was going to try to conquer Eretz Yisrael. And they tried to prepare to stand their ground and to prevent any attack from this general Holofernes. And they had Yoakim, the Kohen Gadol, sent basically to two major cities, that those should be the cities where they, Bnei Yisrael, sort of encamped themselves and fortify themselves and prepare for any potential battle with Holofernes. When Holofernes came, he tried to get the Jews to give up, and he saw that they weren't giving up. So he came, he was very, very surprised. He said, every other nation that I've been going to just gives themselves up right away. They realize how powerful I am. What's with these people? Who are these people? What are these people about? And it was a general from Ammon who explained to him that they only worship Hashem, and they only trust in Hashem, and Hashem's going to protect them. And Holofernes got very, very upset at this officer from Ammon, and he basically took him and tied him to the wall of the city, and he said that as soon as I destroy them, and you see that I can destroy them also, I'm going to kill you as well for doubting that I have the ability to destroy them. As part of his plan to get Bnei Yisrael to give in, he cut off the water supply. There were springs, I guess, and pipes that were carrying the water from outside the city into the city. So he besieged the city where the Jews were, and he cut off their ability to get the water, and Bnei Yisrael didn't have any water inside. So in the city, there lived Almana Mishevet Shimon v'Yehudis Shimon. There was an Almana from the tribe of Shimon who was named Yehudis. So we have our Yehudis, but we also have somebody from the tribe of Shimon, which is very different than what the Ran had, again, in terms of somebody from the family of the Kohen. And she was a very holy woman, and she worshipped Hashem, and when she heard when she saw that, it didn't seem like there was anything lacking in Bnei Yisrael. She couldn't, sometimes you can pinpoint that the Bnei Yisrael needs to do tshuva, and there's a certain area where Bnei Yisrael are lacking. They didn't really see anything, so she figured, maybe Hashem is going to somehow bring us salvation, and everything will be okay. So she decided, she took with her one of her maids, and she went to the head of the city, and she asked for permission to go out. And she dressed herself all beautifully, and she took a basket with lechem, bread, yayin, wine, vitzimukim, and raisins. And she left the city. When she got, so notice what was missing from her basket. Cheese. No cheesecake, right? No cheese. There's no cheese in her, basket. So when she goes over, she crosses over to the enemy camp, and she's trying to approach this Holofernes. She asks from the showman, from his guard, that she should be able to meet together with the general. So basically, she met with him and was talking with him, and over the course of a few days, she developed this very close relationship. She found favor in the eyes of Holofernes, and she told him that I'm one of the Jews. And if you listen to my advice, then the city will certainly fall into your hands, and you're going to succeed and be able to beat the Jews. Okay, and it got to the point that after a few days, Chomad Esyofya, he really desired her beauty, he wanted to do with her as he pleased. And so on Bayom Arvi, on the fourth day, he made a large seuda for all of his people, and together with this Yehudis. And she came, and she was giving him wine to drink. And by the end of the meal, all the other people left, and she was left alone with Holofernes. And they were in the tent together, and she continued to give him wine. Umerov Shasiyas Yayin, and from all the wine that he had consumed, Nirdam holofurnas amishkavo, he fell asleep on his bed. The general fell asleep on his bed. Yehudis amdav ispala Hashem sheyasiyatarka, and Yehudis got up and dived into Hashem that she should help, that he should help her. And she picked up the sword that was near his bed, above his head. And she chopped off his head. And she put it inside her sack.
There was no milk, right? Not yet, right.
No, there was no milk at all. That's going to be one of the problems. We'll see. Yehuda, then she left. And she called her maid that she had brought along with her. And they ran, and they went out of the city. And again, they weren't really suspected of anything because she sort of had free access to go back and forth because they knew she was a Jew. But the guards also knew that she had found favor in the eyes of the general. And she went up to the top of the mountain to the Jews, and she showed the heads of the city the head of Holofernes. And by the time they realized that their general had been beheaded, they were very, very scared, and the Jews were able to rush them out, and the Jews were saved. That's the story of Yehudas, as per the book of Judith. So again, the inconsistencies. Again, so there were those that suggested that this is the source. If this is going to be the source, then all the information that we take out needs to have been there. So, the important inconsistencies, not going into all the details, the important inconsistencies are, again, the Ran said that this is something from the Kohen Gadol's family. This was not from the family of the Kohen Gadol, it was from Shevet Shimon. Again, and again, no mention of the cheese, and again, it sounds very minor, but if we're going to have a minhag which develops, which the Ran tells us specifically, is coming from this story about eating cheese, and the cheese has to be there. We can have a minhag to have wine and raisins, maybe, from the story the way it is here, but that has nothing to do with what we have here. Again, it was not at the time of Chanukah, it was at the time of Nebuchadnezzar. And does this have anything to do with the Gzeira that Rashi was talking about? Rashi is telling us something completely different. Maybe the Ran was referring to the Gzeira of Rashi also. The Ran wasn't clear. But Rashi was certainly telling us that the whole story revolved around this Gzeira, that any woman who was going to be married had to go to the general for the night before the wedding. It seems fairly clear that the book of Judith is not the source for the story that the Rishonim are talking about, and the ones that they affect and impact the halacha. Now, before we get to what the source was, the issue of the timing of the story is something which does emerge in terms of halacha as well. And I'm not sure if it's dependent on the fact that it was different in the book of Judith or not, but there are those who have suggestions that really it did take place at another time. Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes something in his Sefer Mor Ktzia. He says like this. He quotes that that there are those that wrote Shneis Chanukah Nasa Al Yidei Hanashim, that the Neis of Chanukah took place through the women. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden in the Mor Ktzia, "V'zeh dover badoy." This is made up. Women had nothing to do with the miracle of Chanukah. And he says, "Ki be'emes ein shaychus klal anoshim b'neis Chanukah yoser min anoshim." The women have no larger part in the miracle of Chanukah more than the men. Everybody maybe is the same. Everybody is affected by the decrees of the Greeks, but there was no special aspect to the nace when it comes to the women.
What's his name?
Rabbi Yaakov Emden. I didn't make this up. This is what he writes. I'm just quoting. What did Chazal say? Didn't the Gemara say Afin Hayu Ba'oso Anase? They wrote in the nace. They said, yeah, Lo Amru Chazal Elosh Afin Hayu Ba'oso Anase. All Chazal said was that they were included. So doesn't mean that they had a larger part. It just means that they were part of it. They were affected by what the Greeks were trying to do. And therefore, there doesn't have to be any special story of any special miracle that took place with a woman on Chanukah. And he said, that's what Rashi said. He says, it doesn't contradict Rashi. All Rashi said was that was that there was a gezeira which specifically affected the women. So the gezeira of a bris milah specifically affected men. The gezeira that the woman who's going to be married has to spend the night with the general before marrying her husband affected the women. So everybody's affected by the terrible decrees of the Greeks. That's all Rashi means. That's all the Gemara means. Right, lo shehein hena hayusiva v'garmen. It's not that they were the cause of the miracle, but, and he says, that's what you see in the book of Josephus, in the book of other books. We have no mention of any special, we have no early sources, and you can understand what he was bothered by, because we don't find any very early sources to such a story. So where would these stories come from? The problem... Oh, so what is this all? So is this whole thing made up? So he says, no, the whole thing's not made up. He just says that somebody along the way combined two different stories. He's not denying that there is a story of a miracle that took place at some point with a woman. He just doesn't think that took place necessarily on Chanukah. He says, "Rechokim me'ub bizmanim zemizeh." It took place at completely different times. V'lo karav zelzeh, they weren't near each other at all. Says maybe you can say Moshe Nemar Shirata Lati Zichron Galmane Sihudis. Maybe in a different time period, maybe it was the time of Nebuchadnezzar, maybe it was whenever, this nace did occur with this woman Yehudis. It wasn't necessarily enough to establish its own holiday. Not every nace that takes place gets its own yontif. But now that we were having a yontif for Hanukkah, so since this nace took place, so maybe some of the Rabbanim decided this was a good time to also remember, agav this, connected with this, let's also remember the nace that happened with the Yehudis. But not that that's fundamental to the miracle of Hanukkah, not even that it took place at the time of Hanukkah. Hello? Right. That's what he, Vitzirful in his Hanukkah, and we connected it to the miracle of Hanukkah. The problem, and again, where he's coming from, I think we can understand that he really didn't have sources that reveal the where the Rishonim were getting this all from. So he was bothered. But the problem is, and the Minchas Elazar, the Munkach Rebbe, and others strongly attack the Rabbi Yaakov Emden, is that the Rishonim don't say that. And for him to come hundreds of years later had to say that. The Tosfos and the Ran clearly connects the story of Yehudis to Hanukkah. He says that's why there's a minug of cheese on Hanukkah, and the smog and the ritva, and many of the other Rishonim. He says it's a chutzpah, as great as Yaakov Emden was, to think that he can just reject out of hand that all the Rishonim assumed that it was connected and the whole thing was a mistake. He says absolutely, absolutely ridiculous, and so many strongly, very strongly disagree with this approach of Yaakov Emden. The Aruch HaShochan suggests like this. Again, he quotes this minhag achanashim nogo shelo lasos malacha. The women have a custom not to do malacha kol zman shaneiros dokos, as long as the candles are burning. Vein lahakel lahem, and you shouldn't be lenient when it comes to this. Why? The ktsas mineis Chanukah nasa al-yidei isha. Part of the miracle of Chanukah took place through a woman. Beis shegazru shekol nesua tivo l'tav tzatchil, the time when they decreed that anybody who's getting married has to first spend the night with the general. Could appear as Rashi b'Shabbos, as Rashi told us in the Gemara. V'od, and additionally, behemshech hazman, at some point later on, nasa neis al-yidei Yehudis, and at some point also in the future there was also this nace of Yehudis which took place with the milk. So again, he seems to be saying that there are two stories that are taking place, which again maybe will help explain some of the problems. And he says that the story of Yehudis did not take place at the time of Hanukkah, but we chose to remember it at the same time, and that's where the minhag comes from. It's a little bit strange. Again, with the idea probably being that it didn't have to deserve its own day to be remembered. Again, the Aruch HaShulchan seems to be more sensitive to not wanting to just reject the Rishonim out of hand, and what he gains by having two stories is that at least the basic story of the Gezerah took place at the time of Hanukkah, and maybe there was some sort of miracle that took place at that time. And we had the other story was kind of just added on. It doesn't read beautifully, especially in the Ran, who seems to say that the Medrash happened on Hanukkah, and that's why you have it on Hanukkah. But that's the suggestion of the Aruch HaShulchan. So I found two basic svarim that really did a lot of the research in terms of figuring out what sources exist. And what seems to emerge is like this. That in the last 150 years, many Midrashim have been discovered in different Knezos, whether in Cairo, in Oxford, in different places. And these Midrashim have some differences between them, but they seem to at least most accurately represent the stories that the Rishonim were speaking of. And if that's the case, more likely their sources, and especially again if the Ran and others quote a Medrash or an Agada, saying that we found the Medrash, it seems to work well to explain it. So I want to see a look at how the stories are developed in Chazal and these Midrashim, and then we'll maybe try and stick everything together. So this Gezeira, what's the story? Is there any story? Again, Rashi in a vacuum seems to be telling us, all we know from Rashi is that there's a Gezeira of this woman having, the woman having, getting married, having to spend the night with a general, and that a nace happens. So presumably, the nace happens something in the context of this Gezeira. Right? Most likely. So what's the connection to this Gezeira that Rashi speaks of? So the Medrash says as follows. Medrash says, that the daughter of Matisyahu, again, which is a little bit different than what we thought based on the Ran. Again, there are going to be slight differences, but again, in terms of the basic gist of the story, at least we can hopefully try to explain. So basically, once this Gzera existed, so the women decided that they're not going to get married. What are they supposed to do? They don't want to be stuck spending the night with this and being abused by this Greek general. So the better choice seemed to be, if they don't get married, they don't have to do this, and hopefully things will get better at some point. At some point, these women were getting older. The Gzera was getting on for a while. And basically, Bnei Yisrael, in secret, were trying to make weddings and allow for these people to get married without it being known, so that the Greek general would not be able to take the women.
Did we learn this somewhere else that this happened?
Discussed this a little bit last year. This is very hideous, but maybe it's ringing a bell now.
Yeah.
So again, it was for years already. But then the problem happened like this. That Matisyahu had a daughter. And she also wanted to get married. But Matisyahu was such a public figure, there was no way to be able to conceal her wedding. At the engagement feast to celebrate her engagement, Amda Chana Bas Matisyahu Me'al Arpiyo Nesafka Kapel Zu Al Zu V'kara Porfiron Shalom V'amda Lifnei Kol Yisrael G'shim Megula V'lifnei Aviyah V'ima V'chosna. So apparently this girl's name was Chana, not Yehudis. She's the daughter of Matisyahu. And she was the one who's going to be getting married. But again, because her wedding is going to be more public, she's going to have to spend the night with the general first. And she got up at this engagement party in front of everybody present, all the important people in Bnei Yisrael, and she tore her clothing. She ripped off all of her clothing, and she was standing without any clothing in front of her brothers, her father, the Gedolei Yisrael, the Mechutanim, everybody. And the Medrash says, "V'kei men shiro achelak achnis baishu." So her brothers, again, these are the Makabim, the ones that are going to be fighting this war. And they are very embarrassed. You know, who does she think she is? And they looked downwards, looked away. And they tore their clothing. And they wanted to kill her. Amru Lahem, and she said to them, Shimuni Achai V'Dodai, listen to me, my brothers and my uncles. Umayim B'Shviyo Shemad Zilifnei Tzadikim Aruma B'Lishim Averi Atemizkanim B. If when I stood here right now in front of all these great people, completely naked, without really doing any Avera, and yet your feelings are so strong about wanting to avenge what took place, and you have no problems in giving me over to this general that he should abuse me. You should learn from Shimon and Levi, Dina's brothers. They were only two. And they were jealous on behalf of their sister. And they destroyed an entire large city. And they stood up for what was right and what Hashem wanted. And Hashem helped them, and they weren't destroyed. And you, my five strong brothers, Yehuda, Yochanan, Yonasan, Shimon, and Lazar, and all your other assistants, you're going to leave me. You're not going to come to my defense. Ribono shel olam, im lo tachus aleinu chus haklusha shimcha agadol shenikra aleinu nekom hayom nekmaseinu. And she basically gave a tefillah to Hashem that he should help them be avenged. And Ba'osa Shon is Kanu Achara V'Amru Bo'Vunat Aleit Samanase. And her brothers realized that she was 100% right. It took her doing something very extreme to get her point across. But they realized that she was 100% right. And they got together and they needed to figure out a plan. What are they going to do to save their sister and to get rid of this this tactic that the Greeks were doing? Notlu Eitzah Zomizeh, and they discussed it and took advice from one another. V'amru, and they said, Bo vina lichene to Amelcha Gadol, let's take her to the great, to the king. V'nomar lo, and we'll tell him, Achoseinu bas Kohen Gadol, our sister is the daughter of the Kohen Gadol. V'ein b'chol Yisrael Gadol me'avinu. This is the top prize. There's nobody greater than the Kohen Gadol in B'nai Yisrael. This is the woman that you're going to be getting. She shouldn't have to spend the night, you know, with some lowly general. It should be with somebody much higher up. Elimah Melech, Shehu Gadol Kemoseinu, somebody who's on par with the greatness of Matis Yahu. V'nechnisenu Elav, and we should go in. V'nargenu, and we'll kill him. V'neitze, and then everything will be okay. And that's basically what happened. It explains that they set up the king agreed, and the king was so excited that having such a important woman that he was going to be able to spend the night with, and they set up chupos. They set up a whole ceremony, going dancing and singing and dancing from the house of Matisyo all the way to the house of the king. And once they were there, and the room, basically the king said everybody else should leave so that he can be left with his with this woman. And as soon as everybody left, the brothers killed this king. So, and then that was basically the beginning of the entire revolt of the Chashmonaim. So again, this is not necessarily the story of Yehudas, but it's certainly a good Hanukkah story. It seems to be what Rashi is talking about. Afin hayabosanes. There was a specific zera against women, and this miracle happened. Who would have thought that they would be able to get this kind of access to the king, and Hashem would help them? You know, it was a tremendous salvation, and this was even the beginning of everything that followed. It was the beginning of the entire revolt. So again, this nace really stands at the beginning of being able to for everything that was going to happen later. So that takes care of Rashi, but we're still left with what happened to Yehudas and Cheese. Well, we don't have anything. The whole story is missing. So what's the story of Yehudas that we find in the Medrash? So the story was like this. It took place at the time of Hanukkah already, so we're in the right time period, which is already a good start, better than we were before.
It's Yehudas.
Yeah, Yehudas now. Yehudas now. One of the generals that was sent by Antiochus was named Elephornus. Very similar to the other name of the Holofernes, but I don't know what the difference in all these names. Fine. So he surrounds Yerushalayim, and they're making all the gezeros, all these different decrees against the Jews. And he was waiting, basically, to see what would happen. And there was, amongst the Yevanim in the camp, there was a Hegmon Echad whose name was Ator, one general's name was Ator. And he knew astrology. And he said to the king, you should realize that right now the Jews are being very meticulous in their performance of mitzvot, and there's no way you're going to be able to succeed. As long as the Jews are still doing the mitzvot, your hope to besiege Jerusalem is going to fail. Miyad kas ha-melech v'asruhu. And immediately the king became upset. This is Elephornus, the king of the Yevanim. Again, king probably doesn't mean king in terms of as high up as Antiochus, but again, some sort of a subdivision. And they tied him up. And they tied him up on the gates of Yerushalayim. Again, this story sounds very similar to the book of Judith, which, again, is not a problem because it's a good chance that the book of Judith took things from Chazal. Again, in terms of this being an earlier source. And he says, as Kishutipo Yerushalayim, as soon as Yerushalayim falls, you're going to be killed as well. And the Jews are basically asking this guy through the wall, like, why are you tied up to the wall here? What's going on? What happened to you? And he said, because I tried to say good things about the Jews. Fine. So, Haisav Yerushalayim, in Yerushalayim there was Isha Achas Yafa Admod, a very beautiful woman, Ushma Yehudis, whose name was Yehudis. And when she saw that Bnei Yisrael were doing the mitzvos, the Zehirim, the Torah, and so careful about their mitzvos, she turned to Hashem and said, well, what should we do? We need to figure out a way to get out of this. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Now we need to try and be victorious. So she said, I'm going to go, and I'm going to give myself over to this general, and hopefully Hashem will help me in some way, and I'll be able to have some sort of hatzlacha, some sort of success in getting rid of this general. And the people of the city see that she's preparing herself in a very attractive way to leave the city, and they said to her, You're not embarrassed from Hashem. We're about to be going into battle against the Greeks, and we're all doing tshuva and making sure that we're doing the right things. And now's the time to be involved with promiscuity, and you're going to go out to the Greeks. And she basically, kind of snuck her way out, let them think what they wanted to think. And she went up and she said to, she got close to the Greek camp and she said, Yechi HaMelech, Yechi HaMelech, I serve the king, I want to get rid of the Jews from Yerushalayim, I'm going to help you destroy Yerushalayim. So she told this to all the guards and she asked to be brought to the king, and she went to the king, and she tells them, Achi v'avi, Nevi'im hayu v'kohanim. I come from a very important family of Nevi'im, of priests, of Kohanim. And I heard that they said that their Yerushalayim is only going to fall in the hands of Elephornus. And now I came to try and help you so that should come to fruition and you should be victorious and you should be able to win. And with that, right away she won the heart of the king, and he began to trust her. And she said, if you want to marry me, I'd be more than happy to join together with you, and we can, again, I'm one of the important people of the Jews, and we can work together. The next line is kind of strange, but she says that I want to marry you. If you want, you can marry you. But Elachshav ani b'ni dasi. But right now I am a nida ula erev ani tovelas, and then I'm going to go to the mikvah tonight, and then I'll be more than happy to marry the king. Why exactly the Greek king came about that? I have no idea. But that's the part that's a little bit strange. But that's what it says here. Ula erev ani tovelas, and tonight I'll go and be tovel. The Esther is on a melech, and I'll do for you whatever you wish. And he makes this. He was very pleased with his plan, and he makes a big meal, and he prepares v'achlu v'shasu Takru, Hamelach Yose Mikulam, and the king got very drunk, and basically she chopped off his head. And then in the morning she takes the head and she runs out and the Jews see it and everything is happy. What's wrong? Well, the head comes off at the end of every story. It's a matter of what happens. Okay, so that's basically the story.
There's no cheese.
So what's interesting is that in all of the midrashim that have been found, there's only one that mentions anything about cheese. That wasn't this one, but it's missing a lot of the other details. It's not inherently bothersome. Again, the same way that in the last 150 years we've discovered so many midrashim, it could be the one that puts all these final pieces together is still hidden. Maybe we haven't found that one yet, but every other piece of the story seems to be coming together with these midrashim. Now, the only question which I want to try to finish up, so is there any connection between these stories? They both happened at the time of Hanukkah. And again, Rashi wasn't, and the Ran especially, the Ran really didn't tell us what the nace was about. It just said that she fed cheese to the general, and through that the nace happened, and therefore we have this miracle of Hanukkah. So I think, again, based on all these different midrashim that I found, these swarm that I found, they did a lot of the dirty work. I think if we put the story together from a few of the midrashim and elaborate on some of the details that I didn't really highlight earlier, you can actually get one picture of the Hanukkah story. Okay. So the starting point is like this. Again, one of the questions that we pointed out in Rashi was that the gezeira, this decree of having the bride spend the first night with the general, just seems very different than all the other decrees of the Greeks, again, which were just directly attacking Torah and mitzvot, and didn't seem just to be a crude way of, it wasn't that they taxed them a tremendous amount to try to get their money, it wasn't just a way to get pleasure. So why is this one different? So the Medrash says, and this really I think helps to combine the stories, that when the Greeks saw that the Bnei Yisrael were still surviving even after they weren't giving in, even if they couldn't learn Torah and everything else, but they weren't denying God, they made a new gzeira. Kol mi she'ishta holachas l'tfilo yidakir v'cherev. Any woman who goes to the mikvah is going to be killed. That was the gzeira that they made. So once the Bnei Yisrael heard about this gzeira, so they had no choice. They separated from their, the men and the women separated. They didn't have a choice. The woman couldn't go to the mikvah, and therefore they were forced to separate. Hashem saw what was going on, a dedication of the Jews, he made a miracle happen. The Medrash says that there were springs that were running under some of the homes, and the women were able to be tovel in private under their homes, and were able to return to their married lives together with their husbands. The Greeks saw that they didn't see anybody going to the mikvah, but somehow it doesn't seem to be really affecting the lives of the Jews. So they got very, very, very upset. So at that point, they decided to make the gezeira a little bit more harsh. And at that point, since the marriages were rare, they began, because of this whole mikvah issue, they decided to have this additional gezeira of, again, to prevent the marriage, of having the woman have to spend the night with the general at the beginning of marriage. So again, that wasn't the starting point. So it really was similar to the other gezeiros, because the point of the gezeira originally was to get rid of the tefillah for nida. And that's a spiritual thing. They didn't say the men and women have to separate. They'd be more than happy if the husbands and wives would be together, but they want them to be together in sin. They don't want them to be together in a way that was permitted. Again, attacking the spiritual nature. When that wasn't working, so again, out of frustration or a way to try and maybe infiltrate the Jewish home more, so they had no choice. They couldn't think of anything else, so they had this new gezeira of having every woman who's going to get married spend the night together with the general. Then the problem, so then again, as we said, getting back to the first story that we had, at that point the marriages became more rare because the women didn't want to have to go through this. Then they had the marriages in secret again until it came to the daughter of Matisyahu. When it came to the daughter of Matisyahu, it was too public, they couldn't do anything anymore. At that point, the story unfolds the way we had it beforehand. She stands up in front of her brothers and she pulls her clothes off and says, how come you're only worried about this embarrassment that I'm causing you right now, the fact that you have to give me over to a guy? That's not bothering you. And then they proceeded to have this entire plan and they put up the chuppos and they, at that point, attack the top general and they kill him. And that was nace number one. When the Greeks saw what happened, that the Jews were beginning to revolt and that they attacked the king, then the king, or one of the next higher up general, Elephornus, came and surrounded Jerusalem and besieged Jerusalem. And then the next story unfolded. He besieged Jerusalem, and again, Yehudis was inside the city, couldn't figure out, and she's a complete, a different woman. This isn't the daughter of the Kohen Gadol. Maybe she's Chana, maybe we don't know her name based on which measure she is. It's a different story, a second woman. And then the story of Yehudis unfolds the way that it does. She goes out, she befriends the king, offers herself to him, and then proceeds to kill him when they are alone together. So it really is a continuum. It's two different women, it's two different stories, it's two different miracles, but one leads into the other. It was after the first one, which I guess was a more it was a miracle which just affected killing this one particular general, and that wasn't that the Greeks were driven away after that. So they came back stronger, which led to the total siege. And at that point, once the Jews were able to knock out this Elephornus, then at that point it sounds like the revolt really went into high gear. And that's, I think, if you put everything together, a very different picture of the story of Yehudis that emerges. In light of all of this, then I think it's very interesting that, and when it comes to the mitzvah of Hanukkah, so again, it's when a woman is going to fulfill her obligation, so she's allowed to fulfill the obligation through the lighting of her husband. We apply the principle of ishto kegufo, that a husband and wife can be, in the context of a home, can be viewed as a single unit. We don't say that. We don't say that if a woman wants to fulfill the mitzvah of lulav and esrog, that the husband can shake the lulav and esrog and have her in mind, and then she fulfills the mitzvah. She doesn't have to, but if she wants to go ahead and do it, she needs to do it on her own. So why is Hanukkah different? So maybe this helps explain that why the Hanukkah is different, because what we see that emerges is that what the Greeks were trying to do, or at least one track of the decrees of the Jews, was to attack the bayis, was to attack the Jewish home, and to infiltrate the kedusha that exists in the Jewish home, to separate the husband and the wives from each other, and what they hoped was in the end to get them to live together without going to the mikvah. But the women stood up for the spiritual quality and nature of the Jewish home, both Yehudis and the daughter of Matisyahu, and maybe that's why, specifically in this context, we want the mitzvah, or the mitzvah can be fulfilled in a way that the bayis fulfills it as one, that the husband and the wife come together as a unit, which represents the Jewish home. And the same way that even if the husband is the one that's physically lighting, that the women who are the opportunity in the nace of Hanukkah to be that which really drove the nace to happen and did it in the background, and even sacrificed themselves spiritually by be willing to giving themselves over to these generals in the hope that a miracle would happen, and if not, they were stuck, they had nothing they could do. But then that's really the context of the Jewish home as well, where the woman is the one who often inspires and keeps the spiritual nature of the home together. I think maybe that's why the miracle of Hanukkah is one that's remembered specifically through the context of the bayis, through the Jewish home.